A few weeks ago, we actually had a family dinner. We usually have family dinner on Monday nights at my in-law's house. And my mother-in-law and my father-in-law are Pastor Galen and Kay, if you don't know that. And give them a hand. Every Monday night when we're all in town, which lately has not been working out so well, but every Monday night, they make a fabulous meal. And when I say it is amazing, it is like an incredible Southern spread. And on Mondays, you know, like Mondays, they're just Mondays. We try to be positive, but Mondays are like, oh. And by the time we get to their house, we're like, thank you, Father in heaven. And we are smelling the delicious food and we eat like pigs, right? So it's the best night ever. So a few weeks ago, we had a little scenario, a little problem. We'd all gathered around their island, we're making our plates, and Dustin had already made his plate. And he's sitting over there, and all of a sudden, a piece of food gets lodged in his airway, and he is choking, like, so bad. So he jumps up, and he's, like, going, ugh! You know, he's doing this, and we're like, what is going on? He comes over to the bar, and he's hitting it like, someone save me! He's going, ugh! And then, so I don't know what to do. I'm like, I don't know what to do, so I'm freaking out. And so I'm like, okay, here's what I'll do. I ran over and I just hit him as hard as I could on the back because I saw someone do that on Grey's Anatomy one time. I thought, maybe it'll work. I don't know. And then that obviously did not work. So then I'm like, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to do the Heimlich maneuver. I've seen this before, never done it before. And I know it's bad, but I've never had the training. So I'm just going to try it. And so I decided, Dustin, can we go ahead and just demonstrate how bad this was? Sorry, babe. Can you just come up here? Give him a hand because this is so embarrassing, right? So this is what it looked like. It's so, so weird because I don't know what I'm doing. And so I go like this and I'm lifting him up like this. And it's doing more damage than good, right? So he's like, what is happening? And then out of nowhere, Kay comes around and she comes around and she hits him, punches him as hard as she can on the back. Between her punch, my awful Heimlich maneuver, he is now standing here alive and well. Yes. Thank you. Someone, give him a shout of praise. Leave it to two mamas who don't know what they're doing, but we're going to take action. I'm going to do something. I don't know what to do, but let's do something. I'll do what I can, right? Moms have this ability to just get in there and get a job done. And we did that night, Kay, because moms rule, right? The story we are taking the message from today is from 2 Kings chapter 4. And it's a woman that has that same get it done, tenacious, faith-filled kind of attitude. And the Bible doesn't give her a name. It just says where she's from. The Bible calls her the Shunammite woman. This is my favorite Bible story of all time. If you've known me very long, you know that. And the Bible says that Elisha is coming through her town, her village, many, many, many times. And she's like, there's something about this guy. I know he's the man of God. It says that she perceives he's a man of God and she wants him in her home. I want to be close to the presence of God. I'm hungry for the truth. There's something about him. I want him in my home. And so she says to her husband, one of the most dreaded things ever that any husband would ever want to hear, let's add on to our house. We, meaning you. You need to build onto our house. She said, let's build onto our home a room for the man of God. Let's make room for the man of God. And that's the first point today. What we can learn today is that we can't make God move. We can't do it. I can't force God to move. I can't manipulate him. We can't make God move, but we can make room for God to move. We can make room for him to enter our world, enter our life. So let's look at what she says to her husband in 2 Kings 4, 9 through 10. She said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp. And he stopped listening by now. It's a lot of details, right? Men don't like details. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. She made room for the presence of God. She made room in her life for God to do a miracle for her. She said, I'm going to make room through my hospitality, through my generosity. I'm going to make a place. I'm going to have an open heart. Isn't that what we do every single Sunday when we come in here? We can't make God move in here. We can't say, God, we're going to force you to do this. You do miracles, and this is what you're going to do. We can't make him move. He's God. He's God all by himself. He doesn't need us. He doesn't listen to our suggestions most of the time. He's going to do what God wants to do. We can't make him move, but we can make room for him to move. So we come in here with an open heart. I love that she's such a detailed person. We need a table and a chair and a bed and a lamp. We pay attention to detail as well. God, every single detail, we want to set the stage, set the atmosphere in this room for you to move. We have open hearts. We have an open mind, God. Whatever you want to say to us, Jesus, we are open and we want the atmosphere to be set, and we're going to make room for you to move every single week, and he is faithful to do it. Isn't that true of what we do even in our homes? Man, we can't make God move in our homes. We can't make our children serve the Lord. We can't force them to honor God with their life. But we absolutely can make room for God to enter their world. We have a commitment. We will be in the house of God every single Sunday, because I don't know which Sunday they're going to hear the truth and it'll transform their life. We will put a priority on truth, just like this woman did. A priority on truth. We will make sure it's so clear. The Bible is not just a guide for our life, but it's our standard of truth. And we make sure they know that. We want them to know that no matter what happens, no matter what goes on in the world, I tell them all the time, one day I wish I could make it to where you would never have pain, but one day you will face tragedy, because that's just life. I want to make sure that they know whenever problems come, they know who to turn to, who to go to, and lean into the presence of God. I can't make God move, but I can make room for him to move. And so what happens is, Elisha is one day laying in this room where her husband had built. He's laying there and he tells his servant Gehazi, he says, go get this woman. I need to talk to her. And he says to her, you've been so gracious to me and you've done so much for me. I want to repay you. He says, I have, a good relationship with the king, so I can do, what do you need? Do you need anything? Do you need money? Do you need land? And she said, honestly, I'm good. I'm good. I don't need anything. My family has taken good care of me. My husband has. I'm good. And she turns around and leaves. This just happens to me every time. Should I just lose it? Let me just have this. Sorry. My microphone does this. I don't know if it's my hair. I even didn't wear earrings today because it always clicks. So here we go. Check, check. Can you hear me? It is what it is. I don't even know what I was saying. So she turns around and walks away. She said, I'm good. Then he said to his servant, there's got to be something I can do for this woman, something. And he said to him, I've seen her husband is old and she has no children. So he says, go get her, bring her back. And here's what he says to her. In verse 16, he says, next year at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms. No, my Lord, she cried. Oh, man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that. But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant. And at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. She received her miracle. But one day, when her child was older, he went out to help his father, who was working in the harvest with the harvesters. Suddenly, he cried out, my head hurts, my head hurts. His father said to one of the servants, carry him home to his mother. So the servant took him home, and his mother held him on her lap. But around noontime, he died. And that doesn't make sense to me. God gave her this miracle, and then the boy died. So it makes me want to ask this question. What do you do when your promise dies? How do you respond? When you prayed, God answers your prayer. And then a few weeks later, you find yourself in a worse situation than you were before you even prayed in the first place. What do you do when your promise dies? Maybe you prayed for years. God, I just want to have a baby. You find out you're pregnant, and then a few weeks later, you have a miscarriage. God, that doesn't make sense. I don't understand what you're doing. It doesn't make sense. Maybe you're praying for your spouse to come to know the Lord, and you're begging your husband to come with you to church, like, please, and please come with us. Be a part of this with us. And then he decides to join you a few times. And then a couple of months later, you find that he's more bitter and angry toward God than ever. Why, God? Why did it look like you answered my prayer and then you abandoned me? I don't understand. What do you do when your promise dies? It brings me to my second point, and that is faith must be our response. Faith must be our response. What do you do? You have to respond in faith. It is your only option. Verse 21 says, she carried him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and left him there. She had a place to take her pain. This woman had created a place for the presence of God in her life, and she knew where to take her pain. She knew how to respond, and she goes into the presence of God, and she leans in. Her response is faith. She lays the boy down, shuts the door, and then she decides, I'm going to take steps of faith. I'm going to take steps of action. That is my response. Have you ever seen two people go through the exact same problem and have different responses, and their outcome was completely different? It always just blows my mind. Two siblings have the same parents, same rules, same life, same everything. One child responds in rebellion and anger, frustration at their parent. Another child responds with a good attitude and an open heart toward God. And they go this path, and the other one goes, and their life changes drastically just based off their response. Have you ever seen two women who've gone through a divorce? One woman says, I'm so mad at God. I'm so angry. And she doesn't guard her heart. She lets her spirit get bitter and sour. And she runs her mouth all day long about her ex-husband to her children and poisoning them with bitterness. And then there could be a woman over here who's gone through the same heartbreak, same pain, all the same situation, but she says, I'm going to respond in faith. My life isn't over. I'm going to move forward with God. So she says, God, put a guard over my mouth. Let me only speak what you want me to say. Protect my children. Help us have a good spirit in our home, a good attitude. She brings them to church, and she honors God with her life. Same situation, two different responses. You know, this woman could have responded differently. She could have, when her son died in her arms, this woman could have said, let's have a funeral. Let's bury him. And she could have lived the rest of her life bitter and angry toward God, saying, why did you abandon me? She could have been so full of bitterness, but that is not how she responded. That is not how she responded. Let's read in verse 22. So she sent a message to her husband. Send one of the servants and a donkey so that I can hurry to the man of God and come right back. Why go today? He asked. It's neither a new moon festival nor a Sabbath. But she said, it will be all right. So she saddled the donkey and said to the servant, don't you love her? Like, she's just like, this is a rich woman. She did not have to saddle her own donkey, which sounds hilarious to me anyway. But she's so like, I want to take action. I want to do something. So she saddled the donkey, said to the servant, hurry and don't slow down unless I tell you to. As she approached the man of God at Mount Carmel, Elisha saw her in the distance.
He said to Gehazi, look, the woman from Shunem is coming. Run out to meet her and ask her, is everything all right with you, your husband, and your child? Yes, the woman told Gehazi, everything is fine. What? Everything is fine? She told her husband, it'll be all right. Everything is not fine. Her child is laying at home dead. Everything that she had loved and poured her heart and soul into is laying there dead. And yet she responds with that, everything is fine. Isn't that the tension of gospel, authentic faith? Where you have contentment and discontentment at the same time. You're so content with who you are in Christ. You're so settled because you've been in the presence of God. But at the same time, you're not content with how things are. It's the ability to say, it is well with my soul. And Lord, I need a miracle. Right at the same exact time, you can say both. You can get in the presence of God and he can give you clarity on what to do next, who to speak to, what steps to take. But if your response isn't right, I'm sorry, but your path is going to go a completely different direction. Our response has to be faith. The third thing is this. Our persistence does not frustrate God. You asking over and over, you believing when no one else does, that does not frustrate our God. He actually asks you to keep asking, keep seeking. It does not frustrate him. Verse 27 says, when she came to the man of God at the mountain, she fell to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. Gehazi began to push her away. But the man of God said, leave her alone. She is deeply troubled, but the Lord has not told me what it is. Then she said, did I ask you for a son, my Lord? And didn't I say, don't deceive me and get my hopes up? She's reminding him of the promise that she got. She's like, I got a promise and I didn't even ask you for this. So you better deliver. This is a tenacious, faith-filled, I'm going to grab a hold. You don't understand my personality. Once you told me I'm going to have a kid, I'm going to latch hold of this promise and I'm not letting go. And this is how this woman was. I didn't even ask you for this. I didn't even tell you I wanted this. So you better come through. So then Elisha said to Gehazi, get ready and travel and take my staff and go. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Go quickly and lay the staff on the child's face. But the boy's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I won't go home unless you go with me. This woman's like, basically like, I need to speak to the manager. I am sorry, but I am not the servant. He didn't even give me my promise in the first place. You will be going as surely as the Lord lives and as surely as you live. That sounds like a threat, right? She's like, as surely as the Lord lives, you are coming with me, buddy, because we have some business to do. She was very persistent. And I love the last line of that. It says, so Elisha returned with her. Your persistence pays off, right? You keep asking God. Sometimes I think I'm annoying to God. I mean, really. I have four kids, and they're a bunch of different ages. 17, 15, 11, 7. Got it right. And all I do, I feel like, is drive. And if you're in the stage of life of me, like, you know, like, you just drive all day long. Like, I feel like I'm filling up my gas tank like twice, three times a week. I don't know, a lot. It's a lot. And lately, it's really a lot because it's a lot of money. And I'm telling you, I just decided I'm not going to waste this time. If I have to be in the car half of my life, I might as well use it for the good. So as soon as I drop one of my kids off, I'm always like, you know, they'll get out, close the door. It's quiet. And I say, God, me again. I just pick up right where I left off. Lord, me again. I've been asking for the same thing, some prayers. I have been praying for years and years and years. And he hasn't answered yet. But I know if I will keep on asking, he is faithful and he is good. We keep on asking. Matthew 7:7 tells us this. This is Jesus talking to us. He says, keep on asking. You will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. Keep on asking. And this woman, really, she is so, I love her because she's so persistent. She will not give up. And she really is a picture of an intercessor. An intercessor is just someone who will go to God on behalf of someone else through prayer. I think the word intercessory prayer or intercession has been lumped in with like kind of odd people. Maybe some strange people say, I'm an intercessor. But I believe God is calling us to engage in intercessory prayer, to advocate for our children, not just in the physical. I think we're all good at that, right? In the physical, I can advocate for my kid. Like, you said what about my child? Come here. You know, I think we all can do that when it comes to our kid. But I'm telling you, God needs us to advocate for our children in the spiritual. We go to God for them and we ask and we keep asking. We seek and we keep seeking. We keep knocking on that door of a miracle, and one day God will come through. That's who He is. He is faithful. He is not frustrated with your persistence. He wants you to keep on asking. Can you get that in your spirit today? Can you get that deep down inside of you? God, I'm going to keep on asking no matter what. I may not see the outcome. I may not know what's going to happen. But God, I will not stop asking. You decided a long time ago what's going to happen in my life. I will keep pursuing you. I will keep asking. And that brings us to the last point of this. And that is that God isn't afraid of difficult cases. Aren't you thankful for that? There is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing that is beyond His reach or beyond His miraculous power. There is nothing too hard. I don't know about you, but there's nothing to me as hopeless as death. And I know that you're probably like, wow, we have hope in Jesus. We don't have to feel hopeless. And I know that. But there's just something about, I mean, I can remember at different times going to the funeral home and seeing a loved one laying there. And there's just a weird like a pit in your stomach, like regret. Like if only we had more time, or if only, it just feels so final. You know what I'm talking about? Nothing more hopeless feeling to the human eye than death. But God proves in this story that He has power even over that. Even over death, He has power over it. Let's read the rest of this miracle story, because I don't want to leave you hanging. Gehazi hurried on ahead and laid the staff on the child's face, but nothing happened. There was no sign of life. He returned to meet Elisha and told him, the child is still dead. When Elisha arrived, the child was indeed dead, laying there on the prophet's bed. He went in alone and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. Then he lay down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth and his eyes on the child's eyes and his hands on the child's hands. And as he stretched out on him, the child's body began to grow warm again. Elisha got up, walked back and forth across the room once, and then stretched himself out again on the child. This time, the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Then Elisha summoned Gehazi. Call the child's mother, he said. And when she came in, Elisha said, here, take your son. She fell at his feet and bowed before him, overwhelmed with gratitude. Then she took her son in her arms and carried him downstairs. I love that the Bible is so detailed in saying there was no sign of life. He was dead. When they reached out and touched his hand was cold. There was no sign of life. Have you ever felt like that with a situation in your life? God, you can do anything. I've heard that, but this thing is way beyond anything that you could ever do. God, I don't know. there is no sign of life. If there was a little bit of life, a little bit of breath, maybe I could believe, but there is no sign of life. This looks hopeless. When I was a kid, we used to sing a song. It says, God specializes in things thought impossible. Things thought impossible. That's his specialty. I believe that sometimes God gets us to that point where it's so difficult and things seem so beyond anything that could ever possibly happen. It seems so hopeless. He lets us get to that point because when he finally comes through with the miracle, we won't be able to rationalize or explain it away. All it will be is just that, God, you did a miracle. This had to be you. This had to be you. It looks so dark and hopeless. But this one, God, no one can deny this was you. He will let you get to that point sometimes to show off and show his power. Psalm 77, 13 through 14. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the people. You are the God who performs miracles. Why don't we talk about miracles anymore? Why are we afraid to talk about miracles? I have a hunger in my heart for God to do the impossible. For God to be doing miracles again. So when the lost looks at the church, they say, I know this is real. But maybe we're not seeing miracles because we don't even ask for them anymore. Maybe we don't see our lost loved ones come to Jesus because we haven't prayed in a long time about it. God wants to do miracles in your life. He is a miracle worker. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes it's hard for me to believe for myself. I can believe for you, but when it's me, I'm like, I don't know. Like, God, I don't know if you know my situation. Like, I know my situation, but this is not possible. I was thinking this week, and I had this on my heart, that there could be someone in this room who has a child who is so bound by addiction that it feels so incredibly hopeless. That addiction has taken them and drug them through the mud, and they don't even look like the same person anymore. It has been an ongoing in rehab, out of rehab, put in jail, out of jail. You've spent thousands of dollars trying to help them, and it seems hopeless. And you're asking, God, can you do this? I know you can do some stuff. I know you created the world. I know you're the God of the Bible and you did miracles then. This one seems too hard. And can I encourage you today that the same God who did miracles all throughout the Bible and all throughout history, he still does miracles today. And there is no way that heroin or cocaine or any other addiction is more powerful than our God. You can't tell me that. You can't tell me that stronghold on their life is too powerful for our miracle working God. He can do anything. Some of you need to take those steps of faith just by the words that are coming out of your mouth. What are you speaking? Are you saying it's hopeless? Are you saying this is too hard for God? Or are you still saying, even though it doesn't look like it, you're still saying, God, you still do miracles. God, I believe you will set them free. You will break this chain of addiction. You will do it. You gotta believe it. You gotta speak it. There is a verse in Isaiah 52. That is such a beautiful word picture of our miracle working God. I love it so much. Can we look at this? Isaiah 52. It says, break into song. boom it out, ruins of Jerusalem. God has comforted his people. He's redeemed Jerusalem. God has rolled up his sleeves. All the nations can see his holy muscled arm. Everyone from one end of the earth to the other sees him at work doing his salvation work. What a picture of God Almighty looking down at you when you're stuck and you don't know what to do. And you're saying, it is well, but God, I need a miracle. What a picture of him rolling up his sleeves, going to work on your behalf. That's who he is. Our God can do anything. And we need to declare it. And we need to let that come out of our mouths. Amen. He can do anything. Do you know that he loves you so much? I was studying for this sermon and I was wrestling with this. I mean, I don't know about you, but I look at him like, but God, I know you say that, but yet I've seen a lot of people not get healed. I've seen a lot of prayers go unanswered. Like, you need to explain this to me. And these are the conversations we have. Like, God, let's talk. You've got to show me what I don't understand. I don't get it. And I'm driving on Wyoming, about to get on I-40. I'll never forget this. Because I really felt like God told me two things. That I want you to know two things when it comes to miracles. One, I am able. I am able. I have all power. I am able. And two, Mandy, I really love you. If we believe those two things, that he's able to do it, and that he truly loves it, like he loves you more than your spouse loves you, he loves you more than your kids love you, he loves you more than your mama loves you. He loves you so much. He knows every detail of your life. He loves you with a deep, deep love. So if he loves you that much, and if he's able to do anything, because I believe that, then if it happens or if it doesn't happen, I can always trust that he's doing the right thing for me at this time. Always. But we will keep asking. We will keep believing. We will keep praying. We will make room for him to move. And then we will always let our response be faith every single time. Amen, amen. I'm going to ask Dustin to join me. And we have had on our heart to pray over a certain topic today. And go ahead.
You're fine. I want to pray for married couples on this Mother's Day who are not able to have children. You have been at a place where you really felt as a couple that you were called and God spoke to you to go ahead and start trying to have kids. And for whatever reason, maybe there's a specific physical reason that you've been diagnosed with, or maybe there's nothing they can find, but you are not able to have children. If maybe you're here for the first time, but the last few weeks I've been talking about the war that's going on against the next generation. And we really do believe that God wants babies born to godly families to raise them up in this world to change the world. We absolutely believe that. So in the first service, I think we prayed for about 5 or 6 couples, and here's what this will look like. I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you or anything like that, but if you're in here today and you're one of those married couples, and you can even right now, your heart's beating fast and you just know this is it, I want to encourage you with this, because part of your message, Mandy, was we can't make God move, but we have to make room for God. And that's what we're going to do, but then also to have faith. Faith has to be our response. Every time we make room for this in one of our services, every single time, there is at least one couple who could not have children who in fact were able to have children, and it's traced back to these miracle moments right here. Not an exaggeration at all, every single time. And so today we're gonna approach the throne of God, and we're gonna join together and we're gonna pray on your behalf. We're gonna intercede on your behalf. So if that's you and you're a married couple, just with a step of faith, again, not gonna call you out or anything, but would you just raise your hand right where you're at if you're a married couple saying, hey, we are having a very hard time right now and we would like to have children. Anybody? Thank you. Keep your hands raised just for a moment. I want to make sure we have everybody. Is there anybody else in the room? Anybody else? Anybody else? Right up here? Okay, I see you. Help me find people if I'm not able to see them. Up here? Thank you, guys. Okay, I see you. Thank you. Anybody else I'm missing? Okay, we have three hands that went up. And I want to encourage you with this, that I want you to look at the date on your phone. You don't have to, it's May 9th, it's Mother's Day, May 9th, I'll tell you. I want you to remember this date, okay? Because I really believe in my heart that God's gonna do some stuff today. Robbie and Michaela, I love you guys. What amazing godly parents you will be. And we're gonna have faith today and intercede on your behalf that God's gonna do a miracle for you today. We're gonna believe, okay? Because we either, all of this is real or it's not, right? All of this is real or it's not. And the New Testament says, join together and believe. So that's what we're gonna do to close out our service today. So we're gonna join hands up here, but all of you, if you would go ahead and just stretch out your hands towards someone in the vicinity. Can you raise your hands again if you did raise your hand a second ago? Stretch out your hands toward people that raised their hand, and we're gonna believe and bind together as a church family. Father, we thank you so much for today. And God, I pray that you would be with us today and that you would see every single hand that's raised, God, even the ones that may not have raised their hand, God, but they're raising their spirit and their hearts to you right now. They're crying out, God. Maybe people watching online right now, sitting in their living room, driving in their car, whatever they might be doing, Father. But God, you are the God of miracles. You're not just the God we learn about. You're the God we can experience. You're the God who intervenes in the physical in a supernatural way. And God, right now on Mother's Day, we are stepping out in faith and believing that there will be godly mothers who right now, for whatever reason, are not able to have children because of this prayer, with this faith in this room right now, God, something will happen in the supernatural and they will be able to have children. God, in a year from now, there will be babies in our church. In a year and a half from now, there will be toddlers running around our church, God, and we will be able to trace it back to these moments, God, only to praise you for it. God, this has nothing to do with humans. Only God can do miracles. Only you can do miracles. And we give you praise in advance. We have faith in advance for what you're going to do. We believe the Spirit of God can move today like it did 2,000 years ago, Father. You are not just the God of yesterday. You are the God of yesterday, today, and forever. And we have faith in you. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.